A huge welcome to any visitors here today and those listening in solid ground. And anyone who will have downloaded the service and is now joining us, you're very welcome and thank you for joining us. Please feel free to join us for a cup of tea or coffee after the service. For any visitors who don't know where to go, just follow the crowd. Today is a service when we rejoice and celebrate all that God is doing through our women's ministry wings. We celebrate how God uses all women in our congregation and we thank women for their service. A special welcome is to our guest speaker, Jean Gibson. Jean is the author of Journey of Hope, Seasons of Womanhood and Joyful in Hope, and co-author with Maud Kells of Door of Hope. And Jean will have books with her here today. So if anybody is interested in purchasing any books, please speak to Jean afterwards. But thank you to all the ladies that are taking part in today's service. Many have stepped out of their comfort zone, but that is what God asks us to do. Satan uses fear as a form of stopping us sharing the gospel. We must not let fear stop us. God has the final victory, and we must share that news. I wish to encourage Neil and our elders to enjoy the rest today. It really is quite nerve-wracking standing up here. Sorry, I didn't realise you were on the drums. But it is quite nerve-wracking up here. You can maybe hear that in my voice. But we maybe take it for granted what our elders do every week as they come up here and do the welcome and the call to worship and the announcements. And I just pray that today, as the women take lead in this service, that you men can enjoy your rest. And as I thought about preparation for this service, a simple observation came to my mind. Many of you may know what WINGS stands for, Women in God's Sight. And when I thought about it, when you take off the W and the O, we're left with men in God's sight. And I thought it was pretty awesome that we had chosen a name that even though it was women and our wings was a women's group, it still included men. And how blessed are we that we are all in God's sight. Although men, before you get too excited, if you feel like copying our name, I'm not sure Mings has the same ring to it. Okay, I've got some announcements. On your seats, there are white envelopes. This is where the collection, if you want to use those envelopes, you can gift aid them as normal. And it will be going to the PW Missions. So if you want to swap your envelopes, please feel free to do so. Also, Crazy Golf on Saturday the 3rd of March, Grey Abbey Road, Ballywalter. Meeting time is 3 o'clock. Anybody who doesn't have their names down, give it to Sandra today. And if anybody wants a lift, speak to John Cranston today. Then we have Sunday the 1st of March to the 7th of March is the Moderator's Week of Prayer. And the theme is Enjoying God. Let's pray. Leaflets are available. They should have been given out today. If you haven't got them, please speak to someone afterwards. I've had a read through it, and there's suggested Bible readings and prayer suggestions. Prayer is scary for some people, but this leaflet actually helps. It gives you ideas of what to pray for. So I would encourage you to have a read through it and to use it in your own private prayer time. I have a few announcements in relation to WINGS also. Our Tuesday lunch has been cancelled this week due to a funeral, as has Solid Ground Cafe. So please spread the word, because we do have women who attend that lunch and the cafe that aren't in church. So if you can please pass on the news, that would be great. There's also been a change to our Tuesday evening on Tuesday the 17th of March. It's still in Clocky. The venue has stayed the same, and we are still keeping the theme of restoring your core. We're going to be focusing on your spiritual core, And instead of the planned event, we now have Mary Thompson, who will be joining us for a cookery demonstration. But we'll keep you guessing a little more about that. But I will give you a hint. We have used the word core. And if you think about what ingredients that might, core does come into the ingredients as well. So that'll give you a wee idea. But please come along to Clocky on the 17th to enjoy that. Now, as our call to worship, I'm going to read Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. No one understands his thoughts. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. Even those who are young grow weak. Young people can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. Now let us join in our first piece of praise. The Lord is my salvation.
The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea. Darkness falls.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this new day you have freely given to us all and for the week we have just had. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer that you have also freely given to us, to know that we can talk to you in prayer at any time, day or night, safe in the knowledge that you are there for us to restore us, Lord. As we look back over the week we have just had, please forgive us, Lord, for the times when we haven't made the right choices for you, Lord, when we haven't walked the right path. Please help us make the right choice for you in the week ahead. Please lead us to the still waters where our souls can be restored. During this morning's special women's service, celebrating all the wonderful women in our congregation, please, Lord, open our hearts, still our minds, to truly hear what you have to say to us all this morning. Please be with us as we open the Bible to read your word and lift our voices in praise to you, Lord. Also, please be with your faithful servant, our guest speaker, Jean Gibson, this morning. May you use her in a powerful way, Lord. May her words shine brightly into the darkest places in our lives. As the spring season is nearly upon us, Lord, as the dark winter season slowly fades, it is with faith in you, Lord, that I know spring will come. The Lord is my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that with the better spring weather comes new life in the baby lambs and the budding flowers. Lord, as the days grow longer, please help us enjoy the wonderful creation of your world in which we live. It is only by your grace, Lord, as our shepherd, that our souls can be restored and our lives made whole. Please be with us all. Guide us, Lord, as you can, as only you can, as we speak these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Even when I walk through the deepest valley, I'll fear no
Today's reading is Psalm 51, verses 1 to 17. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. The offering will now be received.
Let's come together as we pray for others. Father, we come humbly before you this morning, Lord, thanking you and praising you for all the blessings we enjoy. Lord, we know we can come here to worship you without fear, Lord, and enjoy fellowship together. Father God, we bring before you this morning our brothers and sisters around the world who have to meet in secret. Many have lost their lives, Lord, because of their faith and their love for you. Many are in prison. Protect them, Lord, we pray. Let them know, Father, that we are lifting them up in prayer. Lord, I pray for all gathered here this morning. I pray, Lord, that they would know your presence. Because, Lord, you know the desires of our hearts. You know our struggles. You know our fears, Lord. And Lord, we have nothing to fear. You're here, Lord. You said, Lo, I'm with you always. But you love us. And you said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That you alone know what is best for us. For in you, Lord, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We remember, Father, those who are suffering with mental health issues. We pray, Father, that they would get the help they need and that they would know your peace and your comfort. And Lord, we pray for all those who are ill too, Lord, in our congregation here and in Clocky, and those going through cancer treatments. Also, Lord, we pray that a vaccine would be found to halt the threat of the coronavirus, which is spreading rapidly throughout the world, Lord. We just pray for everyone involved with that, Father. And Father, we bring before you those in both our congregations who have lost loved ones. We pray, Lord, that they would know your peace and your comfort. We pray, Lord, for Jean Gibson as she comes to speak to us in a few moments. Fill her, Father, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, this is the confidence we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. We pray all this in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Well, it's lovely to be with you here this morning in Grey Abbey. I'm living in Donaghadee at the moment, so not too far from here. But I've never been in the church here before, so it's lovely to have this opportunity to come and to be with you. Of course, we often pass through Grey Abbey on our way to Harrison's down the road. But apart from that, I've never actually been in the church, so it's lovely to be here today on such a beautiful morning. We are all delighted to be living on the Ards Peninsula, aren't we? Even though it's cold out there, it's lovely. We're living in Donaghadee now. Brian, my husband, was minister in Railway Street congregation in Lisburn for 20 years. But then when he retired, we moved down to Donaghadee, and it was a great move for us. Very good. Thank you very much to Diane for looking after me and for Alison for her introduction and welcome. And she did mention that I have some of my books with me this morning, just to mention them very briefly at the outset. The book about Maud Kells, I think most people know about. The earlier books that I wrote, they're all biography. So one of them, Journey of Hope, is set in Africa, and it's all to do with PCI mission and PCI work in Africa, in Malawi and Kenya. And it's a journey that Brian and I did through those two countries. So it's a bit of a travelogue as well, but also the different situations we met, the Christians, local Christians we met there, and how they've been influenced by our personnel in those countries. And we give to the United Appeal, and we pray for our missionaries, and we trust that God is working in those countries, but sometimes we don't always know what's going on. And so that's why I wanted to write that book, to give a little snapshot of some of the situations that God is working in those countries, and in answer to your prayers and in answer to your giving. So that book might be of interest to you. The other book, Seasons of Womanhood, it's an omnibus edition, two books in one, and it's stories of people's lives, how God stepped into lives and changed situations. So the first story in that book, for example, is a young teenager in East Belfast who was caught up in the paramilitaries, and how God changed her life. And then it's Seasons of Womanhood, so it's stories right throughout life, people in all sorts of different walks of life right to the end of life. So just to mention those, they're there, and I'm happy to sign if anybody wants them signed at the end. But today we're talking about restore, because that's the theme for the Women's Ministry in the Presbyterian Church this year. And so we've been thinking about the whole idea of being restored. And this picture that we're looking at on the screen comes from Japanese art called kintsugi, which is the art of taking broken pottery and putting it together again, but mixing a lacquer with powdered gold and silver and platinum. And that combination really makes the finished article much more valuable, because the brokenness then becomes the design, and the precious metal that is combined with the original article means that at the end the pottery is even more refined and precious than it was at the outset. So it's restored. and it's made very beautiful. And we've already heard Psalm 23 in the service through the lovely ministry song that we listened to. And the psalmist says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." And that phrase is very familiar to us. We hear the idea of restoring, God restoring our soul many times. We've heard Psalm 23 many times from when we were very young, probably. And it's a picture of the shepherd gently guiding the sheep, looking out for them, protecting them. When they're weary, he refreshes them. When troubles come, even in the darkest valley, he's there with them. And his rod and staff comfort them because he knows he's in control. They know he's in control. And in the end, they know he's going to work everything together for good. So the shepherd is in control. But what does it mean when we say he restores my soul? We're so familiar with that term because we're familiar with the psalm. And yet sometimes we don't stop to think, what does it actually mean for me? This morning, I want us to think for a few moments about two different ways in which God can do this for us, restoring our soul. First of all, I think we may need restored because we've wandered away from God. We see the picture of these sheep and we know what sheep are like. And sheep wander away so easily, don't they? And David, when he was writing Psalm 51, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, the joy of your salvation." David was writing that after in a situation where he was confessing his sin after his affair with Bathsheba and murdering her husband. And we might have felt he could never be restored. If we knew someone had been involved in a situation like that, what would our attitude be? And yet he came and placed his faith in the one who offers full forgiveness. Because I think the psalmist knew that God's grace is not limited by the magnitude of our sin or by the lack of our faith or anything else. God's grace is greater. And when we turn to him, no matter what our situation is, he offers us complete restoration. Now, we might not have sinned the way David has sinned, but there may be things in our lives that have separated us from God. Maybe it's just that we've allowed the busyness of life to overtake us and to allow God to be pushed to one side. And gradually over time, we've wandered away from God. The poet William Wordsworth said, "The world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers." And there's a lot of truth in that. Sometimes we can become preoccupied with the visible, material things, and God just gets pushed to one side. Whatever our situation is, whether it's a definite sin that we can think of that separates us from God, whether it's just a gradual allowing things to take us away from God, whatever our situation is, we can still take David's prayer for our own. He says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And God will answer that prayer whenever we pray it. He knows our hearts. And he knows if we want to have a close relationship with him. And whatever comes between us, whatever has come between us, whatever is separating us from God, God wants nothing more than to answer that prayer, that genuinely felt prayer of our hearts. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." He wants to forgive our sin. He wants to restore us to himself. And we can acquire that prayer as a lifelong habit because it's not a once-for-all deal. It's not a case of coming once and saying, "Restore me," and then that's it forever. I think actually it's something we need to do every day. It would be a great habit first thing in the morning to waken up each morning and say, "God, restore to me today the joy of your salvation. Because every day there are those things that can lead us away from God and that can get in the way. And so that restored relationship with God spiritually comes about as we bring ourselves before him. We confess our sin, we confess whatever it is that's got in the way, and we ask him to forgive us and to bring us back into that important relationship with himself. And he will restore to us the joy of our salvation. And then secondly, we might need restored because we're broken emotionally. Someone has said, where two or three are gathered together, there's always one with a broken heart. And sometimes we can feel as though our world is shaken, the problems crowd in on us, there might be relationship difficulties, financial problems, maybe we grieve over decisions that members of the family have taken, a friend can turn against us, all kinds of pain can cause us an anxiety, and sometimes we can't even share it with those around us. Maybe there is no one around us to share it with. Loneliness has been described as the leprosy of the modern world, and sometimes we feel as if we have issues that we can share with no one. And all of these things can break us emotionally. We might appear fine on the outside, but inwardly we're broken. But whatever it is, God's love is greater. Trouble and hardship and pain and anxiety cannot take away the reality of God's love. Jesus came to earth and identified with our suffering, and he knows what it is to be abused and rejected and to know so many of those emotions. Hebrews 4 says, we don't have a high priest unable to be touched by our weaknesses. We have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are. And he reaches out. That high priest reaches out to touch us, to supply our need and restore our spirit. He says, Isaiah 54 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And as we place our hand in his, he can lead us through the valley. He can give us strength for the day. He can deal with anything that's facing us in life. He can restore our soul. Now, we've already mentioned that I've written recently the life story of Maud Kells, and we've had fun times, the two of us travelling around talking about the book and speaking together. But for those of you who don't know much about Maud, I just want to mention a little bit about her as an illustration. She was born in Cookstown on a farm there. She was very shy as a little girl as she was growing up. In 1964, missionaries were killed in Congo, in the Congo Rebellion, and some of you will have heard of Helen Roosevelt, who was captured at that time and ill-treated by the rebels. But in 1964, missionaries were killed, and so the following year, there was a memorial service in Belfast held for those missionaries who were killed, and they appealed for people to go to replace the ones who had died. And Maud Kells, as a young girl who had come to Christ, who was at Bible College at that time, but looking to see what God wanted her to do with her life, she volunteered to go to Congo to replace one of those who had been killed. When she went back to her college and told the leaders there that God had called her to Congo, they said, no, no, Maud, you've got it wrong. The door to Congo is closed. You can't go there. You'll have to ask God to show you somewhere else. But Maud said she knew that God had placed this in her heart. And he also had given her a verse from Revelation 3, verse 8. I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. And so she kept that promise in her heart. She continued with her missionary training. She did tropical medicine course. She did language training for Congo. And by the end of all that, the door was open again for Congo. And in 1968, she set off for Congo. Now, when she went to Congo, it was the second most developed country in Africa after South Africa. Congo was one of the wealthiest countries in the world in terms of natural resources. But over the years, fighting and government exploitation has reduced it to one of the poorest countries. But Maud had many adventures there. You'll have to read the book to find out what they all were. But she ended up in a place called Melita in the heart of the jungle, and this was a little airstrip that she would fly into when she was coming into Melita. And she brought in supplies, medical supplies from the hospital. She would charter a plane in Uganda, get the medical supplies there, and then bring them into Melita. And the situation that she was in was very basic. These were the log bridges that she had to cross over the rivers. When she couldn't get her bicycle across, she had to conscript somebody to carry the bicycle across so that she could walk across behind him. And the hospital that she, when she came, the hospital was like this. So she was horrified. She said, we can't possibly have a hygienic situation in a hospital like that. We'll have to build a proper hospital. And so they said, well, we've got a little brick machine that we've hidden in the forest from the rebels. So they produced a brick machine and they started to make bricks out of local anthill clay, two bricks at a time. So you can imagine how long it took. And eventually they persevered and eventually they ended up building a hospital. And they built a maternity ward and a surgical ward, then houses and a school and a Bible school. And over the years, the whole thing grew. And Maud, of course, was occupied in all of those different areas of work. She did the ward rounds. She trained others to look after those who were ill. And she kept in touch with the outside world when she could. At the beginning, she just had a radio, which sometimes worked. And then in more recent years, she had a satellite phone linked to her little laptop. But one day she was in the hospital when they came running for her and they said, Mademoiselle, the kiln is on fire. This was the kiln where they baked their bricks. And when she came out, she realised that instead of just the controlled fire underneath to bake the bricks, the whole thing had gone up in flames. And people came from miles around to see this huge conflagration that had burst out. And of course, the whole thing burned for a long, long time. But when eventually it cooled enough for them to get into the rubble that was left and the ashes, they found at the bottom a collection of very well-fired bricks. She said those were the best bricks they ever had because they were so well fired. But that fire gave Maud a lesson in life. And it's in the book. I've put this in the book and I'm just going to read it to you now. This is what she says. She said, over the years, especially during the war, almost everything I possessed was stolen or destroyed. My Land Rover, radio transmitter, solar panels, water barrels, bicycle, and many other possessions which seemed important to me at the time. But God's word remained. Alone in the forest, as illness struck, as Christians turned away from God, and as war erupted, I had my human moments of darkness. But God was in the fire. He brought me through stronger for having experienced it all with him. He restored her soul. And she found that over and over again. When war broke out and she was evacuated, she went back again. When her Land Rover was stolen, she got a bicycle and cycled regularly the 22 miles to the nearest town to get the provisions that she needed. When the buildings were destroyed, she built them again. When the airstrip was overgrown, she cleared it again. And all the time, she kept God's word in her heart. I've set before you an open door. In 2015, she was shot and flown to a hospital elsewhere in Congo where she was looked after by some missionaries. She recovered and she still returns every year to Congo. She's just now returned from a visit this year that she's made. So she had constant setbacks, but each time God restored her soul and renewed her call and her vision to follow him. She first left for Congo in 1968. That's a long time ago. She's been working in Congo for over 50 years. And throughout that time, she's kept as her motto, the motto of C.T. Studd, who founded WEC International, the mission that she's been working with. And he said this, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And Maud has lived that out in her life all over the years. We published her biography on the 1st of April last year, which was Maud's 80th birthday. So that was a good celebration of 80 years, but she's still going strong. We sent a copy of the biography to Dr. John Martin, who is the British ambassador to DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. And this is what he wrote back. He said, "I've been reading this biography during the post-electoral period here in DRC in January 2019. The government has shut down the internet and rumours abound. Who knows what the future holds? In this context, it's been inspiring to read of Maud's work in DRC over many years, through many cycles of conflict and recovery, and to know that ultimately God is in command." See, Dr. John Merton knows that the shepherd has everything in control, under control. It may appear broken now. Congo certainly appears broken now. And our lives may feel broken. But God can restore it. Itzhak Perlman, the world-renowned violinist, walked onto the stage one evening dragging his leg. He had suffered from polio as a child and had been left with a disability. But he was famous for his outstanding ability as a violin player. And so he took a seat and removed the brace on his leg and began to play. But a few minutes into the first piece, a string broke on his violin. And he hesitated for a moment, and then he picked up the melody again and transposed the melody from four strings to three. Those of you who are musicians will know how impossible that is, almost. And he managed to complete the piece. There was rapturous applause from the audience at the end. And he took the microphone and he said, "All my life, it has been my purpose to make music out of what remains." And I'm conscious this morning that some of us here may feel at a disadvantage. You might feel like Maud did, that you've little to offer. We all feel inadequate sometimes, and often we do feel inadequate. You might have issues that make it difficult for you as a Christian. You might feel you've let God down, that you haven't lived up to what you should be. And as you hear about people who have proved God in wonderful ways, you feel discouraged because you haven't done that. I want to say this morning, it's not about having the whole thing together. God understands where we are right now. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, wherever, whatever those may be. You may not be living in the perfect situation. Like Maud, you might have difficulties and challenges. None of us have the perfect situation. We may have great struggles in our lives that others know nothing about. But God can use it all. The obstacles and difficulties that seem such a challenge to us, he can make into something beautiful. And our past can become a gift that brings new life to other people. Tomorrow doesn't have to be like yesterday. He says, "I will give you back the years the locusts have eaten." He can forgive sin. He can heal pain. He can restore our soul. He can make music out of what remains. I think at the end of the church service this morning, it's good for us to just take a few moments to give God a chance to touch our souls, to restore our souls. And so if we could just close our eyes and be quiet together. To be restored is first of all to know God's touch on our broken lives. And so let's come to him this morning, just quietly in our own hearts, and ask him to forgive anything that's separating us from him. And then let's bring him the painful things in our lives, the times of hurt and discouragement and difficulty. Let's just offer them up to him this morning. And let us thank him that the beauty of Jesus can be seen even through our brokenness because of what he has done in us. Father, we pray this morning that you will restore us and that you will help us then to carry the presence of Christ out into the world, to carry his light into the darkness. Help us to bring God's transforming touch where other hearts are broken, where fear rules and where people suffer. And with our lives transformed by you, help us to go as ambassadors of Christ into a world where many others also need your restoring touch. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to sing our final hymn together, and I've come up without my sheet, so I can't announce the name of it, but it'll come up on the board anyway. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? Wonderful words that just sum up so much of what we've been thinking about in this service.
To this I hold my share.
And now, with those wonderful words ringing in our ears, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.